Hey, he's Jim Harden.
This is Blake Giles.
And this is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
Hey, we're coming to you tonight from a special location. Where are we, Jim?
We're at Brett's in Atlanta West Shopping Center at 3190 Atlanta Highway.
And this is a place, every time I come here, Jim, I see somebody I know. It's uncanny.
I'm not an Athens guy. I see some people I know here, too. You know, Coach Mike Cavan eats lunch here about every day.
Oh,
I
does
see him
he?
Every time I come in here.
All right, good deal. Mike Cavan. Well, that goes way back. Georgia football, 1968, sophomore, came in and led the Georgia to an SEC championship. And that was the year my high school friend, Paul Gilbert, was supposed to be the starting quarterback.
And
he got hurt in the preseason. And it was a doorway that opened, and Mike Cavan kicked the door down and came in and led Georgia to a great season.
Well, maybe we can get Coach Cavan on. You know, he was the guy that people say is responsible for bringing Herschel Walker to Georgia.
And him and Steve Greer. Of course, Steve is no longer with us. But they were both instrumental in the recruiting of Herschel down in Wrightsville, Georgia.
And people forget Mike Cavan was a head football coach at the college level at
SMU. That's right.
Valdosta State, too, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, good deal. He's been around the Georgia program now for a long time. And
he loves Brett's. We love Brett's, too.
There you go. All right, good deal. Well, last week, the game that really caught my eye on the high school level was Oglethorpe County beating Rabun County. First time that had happened in forever.
It is.
You know, the Patriots are in a good shot now to get into the playoffs, which would be big for them.
They got Commerce this week, which is, from what I can tell, might be a winnable game.
Yeah, the Commerce is in a historically bad season. They're having their worst season since, I think, 1941.
Really?
Before Pearl Harbor.
Really? I didn't realize that.
They were 0-10 that year. And so this is a historically bad year for Commerce. And they have yet to win a game. And so Oglethorpe County's got a chance. And the rest of the schedule plays out pretty well for them. They've already played the people at the top, I believe. The top of the region. This week's Athens Academy against Elbert County is probably going to decide who wins that region, because those two teams are unbeaten in the region, and the winner of that's going to have the leg up on getting the region championship.
Well, Athens Academy had a big win. North Oconee.
Boy, 14-13.
1 point.
Over Eastside.
Eastside, how do you explain that?
I don't know much about Eastside, except they came in with a fairly mediocre record. I wondered, is Kamari Brooks, is he that valuable to him?
I don't think that was it. Something else is going on. I'm going to do a little research on that.
Yeah, we'll have to. But they won. They're still unbeaten. And they don't play this week, I don't think.
They don't. They're off.
Oconee's off, yeah.
Clark Central's off, I think. They beat Loganville.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Am I getting my weeks right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And then Cedar Shoals is still looking for that first victory. They keep inching a little bit closer. So maybe they'll
get it. They got Madison County this week,
who had a good win last week, 35-14 over, who did they beat? I can't remember.
Either.
But they had a good win. I talked to my friend Lee Sanders. He's got a buddy who's got a friend who's got a son lineman on the team. He went up and watched them and said he was impressed by what he saw. So, this week, not as many teams playing. It's spring break for a lot of teams, and so they try to schedule
fall break.
They try to schedule their off weeks around the fall break and everything. So some of them are not playing this week, but that's good.
Well, not many people watching our podcast will care about this, but both my sons played football at Tattnall Square Academy in Macon, which was, for a long time, had a kind of a dynasty in the private school league. Coach Barney Hester, one of the winningest coaches in Georgia history, he got over 300 wins. He left, retired. He came back to Tattnall this year. They just finished their regular season 0-10.
Oh, my. Speaking of legendary coaches, did you see where Ron Bradley passed away?
I did see that.
And I did not realize he was also a high school football coach and very successful. Whatever he did, he seemed to be successful at.
Yeah.
Won state championships in boys basketball, was a championship coach in girls basketball, did well in football, I think he coached baseball too.
I think he did.
And was 91 years old, I believe, and just passed away. Really put Newton County basketball on the map with what he did up there in Covington for years.
91 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
he had a, I think it was a 129 game home winning streak.
Wow.
And I believe my high school, Athens High, was the team that broke it.
Broke the streak.
Yeah. And Bob Bowen, my friend, likes to tell how the lights went out during the game. And they were trying to explain, well, I guess we're not going to be able to finish the game. but they did. And speaking of Athens High, there comes Kay Tillman. I told you, I always meet somebody here. This is a class of 68 here. We're doing a podcast right now. Come over and give me a hug and wave at them there, Kay. How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you.
You too.
All right. Good deal. So, you always meet somebody you know here in Brent. You sure
Blake
do. Well, she knew me before I was Blake Giles, back in the high school days and everything. So, anyway, so, but that, I lost my train of thought. I was talking about, Ron Bradley. But Athens High won that game, but he put Newton County on the map as far as high school basketball goes, and was just a, from everything I hear about him, a great leader of young people, and somebody to a very competitive guy. He won wherever he went.
Well, it's kind of sad to think about it, but a lot of guys of that generation that were, you know, they're passing on, and
yeah,
it's sad.
Because yeah.
Some of those guys were pretty.
They sure special. Were. They sure were. Well, I'm going to a game this Friday. I'll be up at Franklin County to see Prince Avenue play. Franklin County's had a great year there. They started out the year unbeaten, and I think they're still 5-1, which is uncharacteristic for them.
Prince was off, right?
They were off last week, and then they'll be back at it this week. And so that'll be that's a big game. The winner of that's got a chance to do well in the region and get a good place in the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes. Still, Hebron Christian's got the inside track on that. Yeah, so they do. They do.
Morgan County is undefeated and going to Jackson High School. My friend, I've mentioned to you that
that's a heavyweight matchup this week.
Yeah, my friend that was a coach at Morgan County for about 15 years. He's from Jackson, so he'll be interested in that one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Y'all.
Well, it was a great weekend last weekend in college football. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Sidelines and Headlines.
Like us, watch us, email us.
Subscribe to us. Yes, send an email to sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com.
Come eat at Brett's.
Yeah, we'll be back in a minute. Hey, he's Jim Harden.
This is Blake Giles.
This is Sidelines
and Headlines.
And we're at Brett's here in Athens West Shopping Center out on the Atlanta Highway. Great place to come and meet and get some good food and hang around with your friends. And we're great to be here with the broadcast, our podcast tonight.
We appreciate them letting us be here. They're breaking ground next week. They told us on their new location in Watkinsville.
Yeah, it's going to be out on the Hog Mountain Road out near the across this road from the Dairy Queen. So it'll be another location for them and everything. Well, I mentioned our email account, sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com. Got one last week from old friend of mine, David Hogue. His brother-in-law, Billy Harper, and I worked together many years at the Athens Banner-Herald. David was a mediocre wiffle ball player, but a very good musician. Played the guitar very well, and an avid sports fan. And he told me about coming to the Georgia-Auburn game in 1971. We talked about that game. That was the Terry Beasley-Pat Sullivan game against Andy Johnson, and Auburn won that game. That was two unbeaten teams. And David did not have tickets to the game, so he and a friend sat out on the tracks, which was possible to do out on the east end of the stadium, and people would do that. Well, he and his friend, they thought they had an edge. They kind of climbed down on the kudzu part of the hill and cut out a little circle and put their cooler there. And I don't think they had anything except soft drinks, and decided that's where we're going to set up. And he said, well, other people saw that, and they started to come down too, and they got surrounded. So they really were kind of boxed in. And he said they drank all those drinks. He said by the end of the game, he really, really was His eyeballs were floating and everything, of course. But he remembered that as a great experience of watching the Georgia-Auburn game. One that will go down in history for him and everything. So we're glad to hear from David. If you've got a great story about your high school, college football experience or your high school experience, send us an email at sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com. Well, last week, Jim, a classic Georgia-Auburn game, one we'll be talking about for decades to come.
We will. Just for the record, you know, I'm an Auburn fan. I'm not blaming or complaining about the referees. I'm more upset with the fact that, once again, Auburn just couldn't seem to figure out a way to win a game that it looked like early they should win.
Well, you know, they were playing first half Georgia, who's a different team, than second half Georgia.
That's right.
And so second half Georgia is pretty much unbeaten this year. And if second half Georgia can play the whole game, they're pretty good. So it all came down to the play at the goal line. And you were at the game. I don't imagine you had any clear view from your seat.
I was in the opposite end zone looking. So I try not to look at the Jumbotron when I'm in a game because I like to just enjoy the different perspective of being at the game. And, of course, I'm normally never on the 50 or anything.
Right.
So, but anyways, I was watching the Jumbotron. I mean, what did you think watching on TV?
Here's what I thought. I thought that it was so close that if you're an Auburn fan, he scored, and if you're a Georgia fan, he didn't score.
Well, you're right. And almost everybody, I think I told you yesterday, social media, every single Georgia fan thinks it was a fumble. Every single Auburn fan thinks it wasn't. I will say, I saw more people that I would characterize as neutral say they thought it was a touchdown than the other way. And I do think, in spite of what happened, and it's infuriating what happened to Auburn in spite of that, but I do think if Auburn had went up 17-0 right there, it would have been very hard for Georgia to win in that environment.
As Bob, you can never say what can happen after the fact. If the game plays out exactly as it did after that, Georgia wins 20-17. But you can't say that's exactly how the game would play out. People have really criticized the referees, and I don't think the referees, it was a referee issue. It was a judgment call. They made a judgment. Now, then it was the TV crew that had to decide, did they make the right judgment or the wrong judgment? And their judgment was it was a fumble. That's what they called on the field. It was a fumble. I believe if they'd called on the field, it was a touchdown, it would have stood up. But it didn't. And then, of course, it's a call that made both sides mad.
I know.
Georgia people think they took a touchdown away from Georgia. And Auburn people think they took a touchdown away from us.
Well, the other part of that, too, and I don't know what to believe anymore. So much stuff on the internet you see with AI and all this stuff. But I saw several, I think, legitimate pitches that Georgia looked clearly lined up in the neutral zone.
I've heard that. I have not seen that. I've heard that mentioned that Georgia was in the neutral zone. I don't know. But then people will say, well, we weren't offsides when we blocked the punt against Alabama in 2017.
That's why I said I'm not gonna fuss about the referee. Let me tell you what made me mad about that deal. You're on the 6-inch yard line. I mean, 6-inch line. It's not like you're a yard and a half out. Go watch the Philadelphia Eagles when they do that tush push play. Jalen Hurts, he'll get the ball and he keeps it right here. Jackson Arnold, the fact that he put it up like that with that short of distance to go, and the fact that he let him knock it out of his hand, Auburn deserved to lose. I mean, it's like what? Because I mean, it's 6 inches.
Yeah.
That's why I think it was a touchdown. And you know, you couldn't really see it good because if you get any kind of forward surge from 6 inches out, you're going to score a touchdown. It was third down. They had two chances to get it. I mean, it's just infuriating.
Yeah.
I mean, keep the ball like this and just fall forward. There's no way Georgia can stop you from getting
good
six.
Good point. I mean, and, of course, Georgia says, well, yes, he put his hands out, but we had two guys, C.J. Allen and forget the second one, that punched it out, and then Kyrie Jones recovers it, and he's running down the field. And when do they blow the whistle? I don't know.
Yeah, I saw some. I don't think anybody. The ref's body language, at least, and everybody on the field, was that the play was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody was chasing the guy with the football.
The whistle blew.
So, yeah. And, but, you know, it was just a a weird, weird play. And then it followed up. George was able to come right down the field and help by two big penalties against Auburn.
I just think Auburn, again, if they would have scored, I think they would have been on the better end of the psychological deal.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go their way, and it was like they just, I mean, Freeze had a meltdown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how that affected him in the locker room, what he said, whatever, but it's obviously they didn't play very well the second half. Mm-hmm. Or Georgia played a lot better.
That's
true. Something was different.
Yeah. Well, again, second half Georgia seems to be a different team than first half Georgia. So I don't know exactly how to explain that, and I'm sure that Kirby's just as mystified by it as anybody. Now, from what I understand, Auburn came out with an excellent game plan, and they had changed up some things that really caught the Georgia defense off guard. And then in the second half, Georgia made some adjustments, and maybe Auburn had used up all their new stuff. I don't know.
Well, it's almost like, you know, they had a week off, like we talked about last week. And it's almost like the beginning of a game sometimes. You know, the offense has some plays scripted, and they'll go right down mm-hmm. the field, and the rest of the game they don't do much. Well, Auburn, it wasn't just the first drive.
I mean,
they looked pretty good the whole first half, but I think they just couldn't finish the deal for whatever reason. And as an Auburn fan, that's what drives you crazy.
And the other thing is, the other side is that, well, maybe Auburn's offense caught Georgia off guard, but what about Georgia's offense? Where were they most of the first half?
Well, I agree. And Auburn's defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, as a defense in today's football, if the offense isn't helping you out a little bit, you can't just, you know, I think back to that Alabama team with Gene Stallings in 1992 when they beat everybody like 17-7.
Mm-hmm.
That hadn't happened anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn's defense is good, but you can't stop somebody for the whole game anymore. These offenses are too good.
They are too good. And you give credit that last drive, Georgia went down the field and had a chance to score a touchdown, but then got the field goal and then just came back and the second half. And that last drive in the fourth quarter when they took, 9 minutes to go down the field, I mean, that was a backbreaker. And from what I understand, Kirby wanted Gunner to fall down instead of scoring so they could just run out the last 10 minutes of the game.
Well, that's what I mean. Auburn's defense by that time were...
They were gassed.
They were
out of gas.
Because offense, you know, they the whole second half. But well, what did you think about the timeout?
Oh, you mean where Kirby was clapping?
Clapping, yeah. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hand.
Well, it wound up not having an impact on the game because Georgia missed a field goal and didn't score on the drive. But I think he was calling a timeout. I mean, it looked, from what I saw on TV, it looked like a timeout signal he was making.
Well, let me tell you what I thought. Or just a general observation. I've known one guy pretty well that was an SEC ref for years. I've known mm-hmm. several high school officials. You probably know this if you've known any of them. I'm sure you have. Those guys are rules nerds. I mean, they know what's going on. They watch games. They know what to call. They know. I just think the guys, even the high school guys I know, the refs, when Kirby came over there and got his attention, you know, I think most refs would have said to him, okay, coach, you're either getting a timeout or delay a game penalty. You got 3 seconds to tell me which one you want.
Yeah.
You know, he just let him do a do-over.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. It was kind of a do-over.
I mean, I just feel like most referees in that situation, I mean, most of those guys are, I mean, they're sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, they know what's going on. And you know, you have people talking about they just sort of lost control of that whole game. I guess that's true in a way, but it just seemed like it was a painful, a lot of reviews, a lot of questionable penalties.
Oh, the first half took forever. I think there were 5 reviews in the first half. And then that last review... It was 6 minutes, and somebody, I heard that the last 2 minutes lasted 37 minutes. You know, because that was when the targeting call, there was a review on the targeting call, and so it was just a lot of stuff
but
going on.
I mean, you got to be, I mean, the guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Those refs. And I can't explain sometimes how they just seem to lose control.
Well, people are asking the SEC to, quote, apologize for the referees. I really don't think the referees made the errors, per se. It was all the focus of the game and the format and the way the reviews came up, it just added to it, and it changed our perception of what the referees are doing. Whether they made bad calls, they always make bad calls. I mean, that's just the nature of you're going to deal with that. But I don't think that the referees really did anything that was egregious. The review play is the review play, and we're going to debate about that, and people are going to come down on one side or the other. And the way it worked out in Georgia's favor. They won the game.
You're right. I mean, that stuff like that evens out over time. They might get a bad call this week and lose to Ole Miss. Who knows?
So, speaking about evening out over time, since the 2017 SEC championship appearance by Auburn, it's been a long dry spell for Auburn. And somebody told me they've lost like 15 home games in the last several years. Even to teams was it New Mexico State that beat them there?
Well, you're exactly right. And it's frustrating, as we talked about last week. It's always been kind of fun being an Auburn fan because you felt like you really weren't supposed to beat Georgia as much as you did.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you weren't even supposed to beat Alabama. You know, when Coach Dye came to Auburn, he flipped that thing, and they played Alabama pretty much toe-to-toe until Saban. And you just...
Well, Malzone had success against Alabama. He beat Saban three times, I think.
I mean, Tommy Tuberville, people forget how bad Alabama was for that by that 10-year period after Coach Stallings, before Saban came. And Tuberville beat him, I think, 7 out of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back every decade, starting in the 50s up through the 2000s, up through the 90s, Auburn led every decade against Georgia in the head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 2000s, it was 4-6 against Georgia. And then the last 10, it's been one-sided.
Yeah.
But your comment was about just Auburn in general. And it's just, I don't know. Well,
they're kind of in a desert right now. It's like what's happened with Florida in the same respect. Here's two of Georgia's arch rivals, and both of them have struggled since Kirby got here, but even a little bit before Kirby got here, they were struggling.
Well, you can argue that Kirby's been a little bit fortunate in that Georgia's been great, but those teams haven't been, Georgia traditionally had to be, have not been as good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Alabama's obviously had their number. Well, kind of talking about that big picture stuff, do you think they would... If Missouri beats Auburn this week, you think Freeze is gone? And then same with Billy Napier.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a win or lose for Freeze or not this week. I mean, Missouri comes in with only the loss to Alabama, and Missouri's got a lot to play for. They still think they've got a chance to get into Atlanta for the championship game and to get into the playoffs. And Auburn is now in kind of a let's see if we can save our season mode. But so I'm not sure that they have to win to save Freeze's job. But he does have to win some games. I mean, down the stretch, he's got to find some W's somewhere on the schedule. They haven't played badly. They've lost three games, close games.
It's a good team.
Exactly. And maybe they should have beaten Oklahoma. I really think they should have. But the quarterback played very poorly in that game and got sacked a zillion times. But... you know, they just can't quite get over the hump. You know, the quarterback issue has been one that has plagued Freeze since he's been there. He really hasn't solved that position, and I don't think he has with this year with Jackson being in there.
He seems to be a talented kid, but they just
mm-hmm.
we'll kind of talking about that same thing. You know, Penn State let James Franklin go in the season. Well. I don't know if this is fair. You tell me. You know, for years, people said, you know, there's a longer window at Penn State for Franklin than Auburn and Freeze at this point. But they said he can't win the big game. And then
he started losing the little games.
Well, I know, but what people said about him 5 years ago sort of turned out to be true. Is Freeze, I mean, Freeze had a run where he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was at Ole Miss, he was able to beat Saban a couple of times. I mean, he's demonstrated that he can win the big games.
But is it a trend at all?
I don't know.
So many games.
Yeah.
Getting back to his first year. Heck, they had Alabama beat his very first year.
Well, they could have beat him last year.
Yeah.
if they hadn't played that dumb defense on fourth down and let Milrow just run around forever and throw a ball.
Absolutely. And you know, 2 years ago in Auburn, they could have easily beaten Georgia.
Yeah.
But it's like, they not only lose those games, they lose other games that you think they shouldn't lose. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like...
Well, a good, sound team should not beat itself.
That's right.
And Auburn is beating itself right now to a large extent. So there's something fundamentally wrong. Now, I don't know if it's coaching, if they don't really have the personnel, if it's assistant coach. I'm not close enough to know. But if you're not a sound program, then maybe you do need to make a change. But who are you going to get?
Who's Penn State going to get? Who's Florida? Florida, I mean, the things I read, it's just a given that Napier's going.
Yeah, I don't see any way that he's going to survive the season, because probably the next loss is going to be it. And who have they got this week there?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. So Mississippi State's coming in. Again, they're having a pretty good season.
They could beat Florida. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. This is a wild week we've got coming up. Every team's playing an SEC team. There's 8 games all matched up head-to-head, and most of them are close games. Now, Kentucky-Texas is not a particularly close game. Who was the other one? Texas A&M and Arkansas is not a particularly close game. Some people would say Missouri and Auburn's not a particularly close game. I don't know.
It's about Vegas says it's a coin flip, basically.
Really?
Favorite.
No
yesterday,
kidding.
Now
wow.
They're like a point under.
Wow. Well, the one that really surprised me earlier in the week, and it has held up, is Vanderbilt being favored against LSU. They said that didn't happen since like 1947 or something.
Unbelievable. I know we want to talk about Georgia and Ole Miss, but, you know, people in Georgia don't really quite understand, I don't think, what a huge rivalry historically Alabama and Tennessee is.
Oh, yeah.
And they play this weekend,
yeah.
And that's going to be...
And, of course, Tennessee won last year.
Right.
And so this is a revenge game. A
lot at stake, yeah. But there's a lot of stake in the...
Well, Alabama is sitting pretty in the SEC with no losses.
Yeah.
And now they've still got some tough games on down the line. They've got to play LSU, don't they?
Yep.
And then they've got to play Auburn, of course.
At Auburn.
And they got to play Oklahoma, who beat them last year. Got to play South Carolina, who beat them last year, or almost beat them last year. So it's not a cakewalk in this league. There's just hardly any easy weeks that you got.
Well, Oklahoma's going to South Carolina. I think most people think Oklahoma will win, but I'm going to tell you, that would not surprise me.
No,
at
not at all. Oklahoma did not look good against Texas. I don't know, really, if Mateer is really ready to come back from that injury. Maybe he shouldn't have played last week. I don't know.
Well, I think there are some people trying to anoint Oklahoma as maybe being a little better than they were. I mean, they beat Auburn. You know.
Well, the same thing happened with LSU. You know, how good are they? It's proven out. They're pretty good defensive, which is a change for them. You know, the last few years, their defense has been what's cost them games. And this year, they can't score.
That's right. We don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, A&M, assuming they beat Arkansas, I'll be 7-0.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean,
yeah.
How really good are they? I guess they 7-0. That's better than most.
And I don't know that they've got as much on their schedule ahead of them.
I don't think they do.
Except they've got to play Texas, of course, in the last game. And... So Texas, what you saw last week against Oklahoma, they played pretty well. They still didn't score a lot of points. Arch played pretty well, though. I mean, as a quarterback, I don't have much complaints about it.
Well, Texas, I don't think they're as good as Georgia. They're coming to Georgia in a few weeks. But I think they're like Georgia in that they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they play well.
Mm-hmm.
And... Tell me about Georgia.
Well, let's do that in a minute. We'll talk about Georgia in a minute when we come back here on Sidelines and Headlines. We'll be back in a minute. Remember, send us an email, sidelinesheadlines@gmail.com, and subscribe, tell your friends about us.
Come eat at Brett's on Atlanta Highway.
Good deal. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden, I think.
Yeah, Sidelines.
Headlines.
Hey, we're here at Brett's on the Atlanta Highway, and we haven't had a chance to enjoy any food here tonight. Jim, do you have a favorite here?
I tell you, everything I've ever eaten here is good. You know, you walk in here and somebody say, well, they got bar food. Well, I'm telling you, it's bar food on steroids. Yeah. They've got some good stuff. I mean, well, it's not just their burgers. Their, I've eaten quesadillas.
Yeah.
Everything I've ever eaten is great.
Well, one of the things I always try to get is their sweet corn. It's it's like eating candy sometimes.
You and I here, I think you have it.
Right. Well, it is a big week for Georgia and Ole Miss. Game day will be in town for the game, and so this is a heavyweight matchup. Georgia's favored, even though Ole Miss is ranked higher in the polls.
I saw one. What are they, number 5?
I think so.
I always said I wouldn't bet a nickel either way. My gut tells me, after what happened last year, Georgia wins. I don't really know what that looks like. Although Ole Miss wouldn't surprise me.
No.
They have.
But what happened to them last week against Washington State?
Well, as we talked about, I think that just happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably an ugly win. Ugly win's better than an ugly loss.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and, you know, I saw a statistic in the first half. They had like 170 yards and didn't score. It's hard to get that many yards and not score. So they were moving the ball, but just were not closing the deal. So we'll see. Hey, did you see where Lane made a little snide comment about Kirby's waistline?
I wasn't going to bring that up. I saw, what I was going to say, if Ole Miss somehow wins, it's going to be a flashback to Steve Spurrier days, because he's going to poke them a little bit if they can beat him.
Oh, Lane is a master of that. Have you watched the documentary on him? I've not watched it yet.
I haven't seen it all, but I've seen bits and pieces of it.
All right. And it sounds like he's a changed man from what he was when he was a young head coach. Would you agree?
That's my perception. I think he's like a lot of us. I mean, he's got kids. You know, he had children. I think he went through a divorce and all that. And he just, I like him. You know, he does it personality-wise. He does what he does now, and he's a little bit less.
He's less spiteful, I'd say.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, you know, joking about Spurrier. I mean, Spurrier was just ribbing people.
Oh, he was. We've called him the evil genius.
Yeah, but Spurrier. I mean, Spurrier came across like he really was trying to get you.
And he was enjoying it.
Yeah, and Lane is a little bit softer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Of course, Spurrier. He didn't really come along much in the social media days.
That's
all
right.
His gigs had to come through the media, more or less. But Lane utilizes both, and he spends a lot of time on X, and he's a fun follow, and you just never know exactly what he's going to say.
I think, you know, Lane and Kirby coach together at Alabama.
Yeah.
I think on one level, I'm sure they're friends, but I know, especially after what happened last year, Kirby don't want to beat him at home.
Where was it? I saw somebody had a little clip about the coaching staff they had when Lane and Kirby were together. They also had Mario Cristobal.
Billy
Napier was on the staff. They had, let's see, who else was out there? Of course, Saban was the head coach.
Sarkisian wouldn't have been there when Lane was there.
I don't think he was there yet. Oh, Lanning was like a graduate assistant there. You know, it's like an assemblage of what you would see now as the superstars of college football coaching. You can put those salaries together and they could come in and buy this whole shopping center and have a whole bunch left over, you know.
Well, speaking of Kiffin and speaking of these coaching vacancies, and he's gonna end up having a good year, win or lose at Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a hot commodity.
Yeah.
What do you think he would leave?
Why would you leave there? I mean, Oxford is, it's a smaller community than Athens, but it's got to be a good college town, I think, to live in. And they're happy with him. There's no hot seat for Lane Kiffin. He's getting paid well. He's demonstrated that maybe he can't recruit out of high school as well as some of the others have, but he's good at getting folks out of the portal. And he's a good eye for talent. You can tell that with what he's done with his quarterback this year.
Well, the kids, the skill position guys, the quarterbacks, they like to play for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the game now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, who's going to come after him? The Florida people salivate thinking about getting Lane Kiffin. I don't know if I'd want to jump into that swamp-infested alligator water down there to be the Florida head coach after he's got an established program. And now with the way the SEC schedule is set up, he doesn't have to always beat both Alabama and LSU every year. I mean, it's still going to be hard. It's always going to be hard in the SEC. But he's got a chance. You know, they almost made the playoffs last year.
Well, I would think it'd be a great story if he stayed there and continued to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably not good for Auburn. Might not be good for Georgia if he stayed
there. Or LSU, yeah. For that matter, yeah.
But I think nothing against your hometown of Athens, but I think Oxford, Mississippi nowadays is probably closer to Athens, Georgia than you remember from...
Oh, yeah, from when I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
My point is it's probably a little more genteel, whatever, right. Place to just live.
Yeah.
Easier to get around.
Mm-hmm. They don't have maybe as many fine establishments to eat at or whatever.
Like Brett's.
Yeah, they don't. they don't have as many places like that, but, you know, it's not a bad place, and I think he'll stay there. I don't know that Penn State would even think about coming after him. I guess they thought about going after the Indiana coach, Kurt Cignetti, but we saw today Indiana doubled down and gave him an extension, and he had just gotten an extension, I think, last year.
Well, apparently, that guy's a coach.
Oh, he must be. But here's I think, one thing that shows with Indiana and with Vanderbilt. If you've got some money to spend, you can get players. And they'll come because I can make some money and I can be at this school and we got a chance. And I think it's going to level the playing field over time.
Well, we have not. Speaking of that, we hadn't talked about Georgia Tech. They're playing Duke Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize, I mean, they were talking about Duke spent all this money in the portal. They've got their quarterback is hot. I mean, they're favored against Tech.
Yeah, that's a great place to be a quarterback now. Look at Drake May. Oh, no, he was in North Carolina. That's right, North Carolina. Yep, Duke, they are favored. I'm a little surprised by that. I guess it's because they're the home team that they're favored against Georgia Tech. But Tech, they have been winning by the skin of their teeth a little bit. You know, they've got two game-winning field goals to keep them unbeaten. Here's a question for you. When is the last time Georgia Tech was unbeaten longer in the deeper into the season than Georgia was unbeaten?
1990.
That's what I had to figure when they won the co-national championship.
Right,
I'm guessing. I can't even think of another time.
I can't remember what game they won. They tied somebody that year.
Yeah, I don't remember either who they tied. But, yeah, they've shared the national championship with
Virginia. Yeah.
Virginia, there's another team. 5-1 right now, nationally ranked. South Florida, they got killed by Miami. Or is it Florida? Did they beat Florida or South Florida? Who won that South Florida-Florida game? I can't remember now.
They beat Florida.
Well, they're nationally ranked. They've only got one loss.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we know, in just all this, the context of all we're talking about, how the transfer portal and all that stuff, can you really, you talked about it a little bit last week, do you really think that, how much of an advantage do you think Miami, everybody's, I hear talks of Miami and Ohio State are the two teams. Do you?
I don't know that I would put Miami in the same level as Ohio State. I still think Ohio State may be the only, quote, great team. And I'm not sure how great they are. I was convinced they were great last year. And I think they were deserving national champion. I'm not sure that Miami's there. Because, again, they've had some close wins, too. And so I think it's a... It's going to be interesting to see what Indiana and Ohio State do when they play. Because Indiana has really looked strong. I mean, that game they won last week against Oregon was not a fluke.
No, I know. And I agree with you. I'm not 100% convinced about Miami. I just heard a lot of the pundits that mm-hmm. think they know what they're talking about. They just seem to think that Ohio State and Miami are a little bit heads above anybody else. Again, I think there are a lot of teams that can beat either one of those on a given day. But I don't know. I almost, if I was one of those teams, I get to game 8 or 9. It almost becomes more pressure if you're mm-hmm. undefeated. It takes some of the pressure off if you lose a game. So like Georgia right now, yeah. Almost like they.
How many more weeks we got before we come out with the official rankings of the college football playoff?
That's a good question.
I think it's the 1st of November, isn't it?
Probably seven.
Probably after the Georgia-Florida game. So we've still got a couple more weeks to go before that comes out. And so we'll see how the folks that are going to really make the decision, what their evaluation is. But they tend to mirror the polls early on anyway. And I'm almost certain I think Ohio State is going to be number one in their poll. What is Indiana number three now? Are they?
I looked at it. I guess they've got to be, don't they? Three or four?
Yeah. So, you know, it's we just don't know. Hey, there's another familiar face. Matt Guest just walked in, ex-Bulldog.
He's making Georgia.
That's right. Played on the 77, 78, and 79 Georgia football teams and has been involved with the Georgia Letterman for so many years. Started up Ladd Trucking, a very successful trucking enterprise in the area. Yeah, lives out in Watkinsville. He's there with his bride. So,
Mac.
Good to see Mac. Maybe he'll get a chance to come on and speak.
I thought he lived in Gainesville for a long time.
He did. I think he lived up there in Gainesville for a while. But he's been here for a number of years back here in the Watkinsville area and everything.
So Mac would have been, what would have been his, is he about your age?
He missed, he's a little bit younger than I am. He missed the Herschel year by 1 year. His senior year was 79. So Georgia won the national championship in 80.
I thought he was a little bit older than that. Okay.
And he finished up in 79. So he missed that by 1 year. He was on that the Wonder Dog teams of 78 that surprised everybody.
Well, that was the end of the heyday for Macon, Georgia high school football. He and Neil Calloway. And
which high school was he at?
It was Lanier became Central.
Macon
in
Central, okay.
They won the state championship in 75 with Gene Brody was the coach, I guess.
Mac would have been on that team then, yeah. So he would have been probably a freshman up here in 76, I think, when he came. And was an outstanding lineman. I don't think he ever did much or got much as far as an opportunity to play professional football or anything. But whatever. Well, so Ole Miss, Georgia this week. Again, I'm impressed by how Kiffin develops quarterbacks. This Trinidad Shambliss guy, either him or Austin Simmons is going to be a problem for Georgia because they're good athletic quarterbacks. They throw and they can run.
Why can't Georgia throw it down the field better this year?
I have had a wonder about Georgia's passing attack for decades. It seems like we never have the guys that can just get open and just tantalize defense. Ladd McConkey was one of those guys, and of course, Brock Bowers from the tight end position, who was really a hybrid wide receiver type position. Those were two guys who could get open. A.D. Mitchell caught the touchdown pass against Alabama. He was another guy. But it seems like we just don't have those players often that you look down the field and they're open.
Well, at number one, don't people think he's supposed to be able to?
He's a good player. They've used him more on the out screen patterns than they have on anything else.
Speaking of that, Cam Coleman, number 8 for Auburn. The guy's 6'3", can run like the wind. And I'm going to sound like just another stupid fan when I say this. Why not just send that guy straight down the field and throw it up to him 5 times a game? He's either going to catch it. I mean, 3 out of 5, he's either going to catch it or he's going to get an interference call. Because nobody can cover the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
They throw these little 5-yard outs to him. He had like 40 yards receiving in the game.
Well, maybe Jackson Arnold just doesn't have much accuracy on his ball. I don't know.
Well, he had a wide open. There was one play in the game.
Oh, yeah.
He had a wide open guy right down the field, been a touchdown. He overthrew him.
Missed him, yeah. And, of course, Gunnar Stockton started the game poorly for Georgia, but he finished strong. Again, second half Gunnar, better than first half Gunnar.
Well, they are, I guess that's a reflection of the culture. I mean, they don't fold.
Mm-hmm.
I can see other teams fold down. I mean, if they can get a quicker start, who knows?
Yeah. And it is a team that doesn't quit. But I tell you what, in this league, you cannot quit because every week is a tough game. So we'll just have to see. Should be a big crowd. Electric atmosphere.
You going to be at the game?
I will be at the game. First time we've had a 3:30 game this year. Oh, no, it's not the first time. I think the second game of the year against Austin Peay was a 3:30 game. But it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Well, I'm going to go down and tell you a little bit and then come home and enjoy a little football on TV. It's going to be a big
football day. All right, good deal.
TV-wise.
Okay. Hey, folks, we hope you enjoyed visiting with us. Again, come down to Brett sometime and tell them the folks at Sidelines and Headlines sent you.
That's right. Check out our hats. Yeah. The Sideline Headline logo.
There you go. Designed by his lovely bride.
My lovely wife, Jackie, designed those.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been great to be with you. Come back and check us again next week. Subscribe to us, like us, and we'll be back with you then.
Thank you.
Sayonara.